this is pretty typical trying to get control of my class at school. Yeah. Thank you for making me feel at home. Well, welcome to our Old Testament survey class. Let me begin our time with a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks to you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, that we might worship the true and the living God. We thank you for giving us understanding by your Spirit. And we pray tonight that as we think of the goodness you have shown to us in revealing yourself to us, we would be our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving and praise for the great things that you've done for us. We especially give you thanks for the willingness of your Son to come to this earth and offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might be transformed into his very righteousness, so that we might approach your throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need. Teach us this evening your truth, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is sing a song. So if you will stand, and Roger, if you'll come forward. What? If they would, that would be excellent.
You need to move to your left just a little bit. There you go. That would be the left I was thinking of.
Come on.
And the first thing I have for you is a brain burner. And you may work on these individually or in groups. Somebody back there want to help me hand these out? Okay, as soon as you get it, start working on it. Today is the 19th. How many of y'all knew today was the 19th? So that makes tomorrow what?
20th.
Of?
July.
Which is? The 40th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing. We will be having moon pies to celebrate later. So let that spur you on. I may not have enough for all the older people. Okay, there's extras on this table. Did everybody get one? What? Do we have another problem mummy in the class? What?
Are you going to see these?
No, I'm not going to see any of these things. What, are you going to doodle or something? Ask me. It has been suggested we take a work day today. That will not be permitted. You must work in class at this time. Give you about 10 minutes to... You may or may not know these things, and that's okay. We're going to go over all of it, so don't worry about it. Within the collective genius of this classroom, I think we can get all these questions answered somehow. And my family doesn't get to answer any questions because they've heard all the questions and answers at home. They've been the guinea pigs. A work day. Nice, Anna. Anna. Sigma Delta Pi. Oh, the Curse of Eluami. Excellent t-shirt.
I'm so excited that you wore your t-shirt.
Yes. Well, I'm glad I could make you happy, Courtney. That is my goal in life.
Yes, I brought my camera.
Okay. All right. We'll take a picture together. You'll have to learn. Yeah, everybody should have something for number one. Otherwise, there's no purpose in being here this evening or otherwise. Disruption on the front row. I'm glad you sat on the front. She's going to...
I told you about that microphone.
Yes.
It's wrong. I've got it pumped to the speakers.
I thought so.
So we can hear you when you actually walk through there.
So okay.
You're live.
I'm live.
You are.
We're studying it in study school.
Are you a bad speller, Courtney?
I'm a horrendous speller. Just talk to Donna.
Oh, that's right. You tried to memorize vocabulary in Greek by spelling, and that didn't work.
No, it didn't, because I couldn't do it.
Because you only learned the first two or three letters. And
I tried to do it by
any sight. Word longer than four or five letters, it was very difficult. Good evening, Ariel. I'm fine. How are you? Good. John Michael, just because your answer is the same as Ariel's and they're both wrong doesn't make them right. Oh, but it makes it popular. Okay, how much more time do you need? Anybody need more time? Okay, if some people would help me hand these out as well, we'll go over the answers. Emily, are you already starting a fight?
Picking on me.
Okay. She does a lot of picking on people. No, I have the answers. We're going to work through the answers now. Did you do some good doodling, Mrs. Mummy?
This is a collaborative effort.
She needs another one. Yes. It sort of keeps everybody awake. Yes, this may be an eye-opener for some adults, but this is pretty standard fare for most of the people at the white tables. Okay, lesson one. Why study the Old Testament? Someone look up 2 Timothy 3:16. And read 2 Timothy 3:16 for me. Yes.
2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
You can read 17 also. Okay, why study the Old Testament? It's profitable. It allows you to be a man or a woman who is complete and ready for every good work. How do I know that from what 2 Timothy 3:16 said? What's the key word? Complete, that would be what we are. But how do I know that the Old Testament is profitable? All Scripture. All Scripture is profitable. So the Old Testament is profitable for our growth and our completeness. Okay, somebody read John 5:39 for me. Nathan.
You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, which things that testify about me.
Okay, why study the Old Testament? Was any of the New Testament written when Jesus spoke those words? No, none of the New Testament got written until after Jesus died and the apostles began to write their gospels and their letters. So when Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, he was not talking about what? The New Testament. He was talking about the Old Testament. And the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. Pharisees thought that the Old Testament was a handbook to life, to guide them to eternal life. Jesus says, these Scriptures speak of me. Why study the Old Testament then? Why study the Old Testament according to John 5:39?
Because it'll help you understand Jesus.
To better understand Jesus. It's about Christ. Luke 24:17. Somebody read that for me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Third book of the New Testament. Shall we sing the books of the New Testament? I don't know the song for the New Testament. I know it for the old. Is there a song for the New Testament? Yeah, there is. Okay. Somebody read Luke 24:17 for me. Come in. Somebody.
He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast.
Okay, there's obviously more that I wanted than verse 17 then. So read around verse 17 as well. What is happening in Luke 24? Around verse 17. Two men are doing what? Walking. Where are they walking? On the road to Emmaus. This is the story of the two men walking on the road to Emmaus. What are they discussing? Yes. How Jesus just died. And there were reports that he was alive again. Who meets them? Jesus meets them. And what does he do? He explains what? He explains the whole Old Testament to them in a special way. What way does he explain the whole Old Testament to them?
Things concerning himself.
The things concerning himself. And that would have been an interesting lesson. To be taught by Jesus everything in the Old Testament that teaches of Jesus. So Luke 24, somewhere in the neighborhood of 17, tells us that even Jesus, when he had the opportunity to share with these two men on the road to Emmaus the Old Testament, he pointed to himself. Acts 8:32-35. What do we have there? Does somebody want to read that? We need more volunteers.
Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and
does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment is taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me of whom these prophets say this, of himself or of someone else. Then Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him.
Okay, so Philip has this opportunity to talk to this eunuch from Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian is reading the scriptures. But he doesn't have a clue as to what it's talking about, so he asks a very important question. When the prophet wrote this, was the prophet talking about himself or about someone else? Philip knew exactly who it was talking about. It's talking about Jesus. So having this mindset that the Old Testament speaks of Jesus, Philip was able to witness to this Ethiopian eunuch, and God was pleased to save him. Now, did anybody else have other comments they want to make concerning why we study the Old Testament? Any of the big brainers? It's what... They're written for our instruction. That was one of the verses I was thinking about too. Forgot to put it down. In 1 or 2 Corinthians, Paul says, these things were written for our instruction, that we might not do the same things that they did in unbelief. Excellent. Anybody else have something else to say? It tells us about the two comings of Christ. So it's still profitable for us today because the second coming of Christ hasn't happened. And we can look forward to that. Excellent answers. Okay, let's move on.
It's also foundational for understanding the fall, synchronicity.
It's... If you started in the New Testament, what would you understand? Almost nothing. If you don't understand particularly Genesis, you're not going to understand much of what the New Testament is talking about at all. It is foundational for all understanding in the New Testament. Excellent. Anybody else?
2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that implies rightly dividing the entire word of truth, not just part of it. And otherwise, we'll be ashamed if we don't do that.
And when Paul wrote that, there wasn't much of the New Testament written, and there certainly wasn't any of the New Testament collected into a group of letters. So when he wrote that, he was basically referring to the Old Testament. To know the character and nature of God. Excellent. Very good. We see the character and the nature of God in what he's created, in his word, and in Jesus Christ. But there are times when we're looking in the Old Testament, and places like Isaiah chapter 6 shows us a glimpse of the glory of God, or the beginning chapters of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel said, I saw something that resembled what I think might have been the glory of God, but he couldn't describe it. It was so glorious. Excellent answers. Okay, which Old Testament? Did you know that the Catholics have a different Old Testament than the Protestants do? What is the difference between the Catholic Old Testament, the Roman Catholic Old Testament, and the Protestant Old Testament? The Catholics have a group of books known as the Apocrypha. This came about because before Christ came, the Hebrew scriptures were written into the Greek language. And the Hebrews understood what the scriptures were. But there were also some books that they thought very highly of that they did not consider scripture. So when they translated these Hebrew scriptures into Greek, they also translated these highly regarded books into Greek as well. And that body of work, that Old Testament Greek translation that included the Apocrypha, was called what? The Septuagint. It was called the Septuagint. So, what are these books that the Catholic Bible has that the Protestant Bible does not have? If somebody would help me hand these out. I have some listings of these books. You got a blank one, aren't you fortunate? Frank has some. Now take a look at these books. The Hebrew canon was divided up into three groupings. And it's actually called this in the scriptures in the New Testament. It is called the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. And the prophets were divided into the former prophets and the latter prophets. And some of those books, like 1 and 2 Samuel, are one book in the Hebrew canon. So the Hebrew canon actually has only 24 books. The last book of the Hebrew Bible, they're the same books that we have, just in a different order. The last book of the Hebrew Bible is 1 and 2 Chronicles. The Septuagint translated all 24 of those books that we now have as 39 books. But notice the italicized, non-bolded books like 1 Esdras, Judith, Tobit, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and 4th Maccabees, Odes. There's also a Psalm 151 in the Septuagint. Our Psalms end at Psalm 150 and so forth and so on. And you can see how the Catholic Bible, again in bold, has the same 24 books as the Hebrew Old Testament, same 39 books that are in the Protestant Old Testament, but they also have other books that they don't just highly regard, they consider them as scripture. And I've never read the Apocrypha, but it is my understanding that doctrines like purgatory and limbo and things like that are found in the Apocrypha, and that's why the Catholics hold to certain doctrines such as that. So the Greek translation of the Old Testament brought about this addition of certain books known as the Apocrypha. Now, on your brain burner, number 5 says, how does the Protestant Bible differ from the Catholic Bible? We've discussed that. But now, how does one determine whether the Protestant Old Testament or the Catholic Old Testament is the authoritative Old Testament? How do we know that we do include the Apocrypha in the Scriptures or we don't include the Apocrypha in the Scriptures? How do we know? Louder? Okay, there have been councils that determined that certain books were not scripture. Very good. What else? They weren't inspired by God, but how do we know that? So we're going to eliminate the Apocrypha from our Old Testament. Your Bible does not have an Apocrypha. What is interesting is the Bible that most of us use is called the New American Standard Bible. If you take standard off of the name, the New American Bible is the Catholic Bible. So you got to watch out. You don't want to go buy a New American Bible. New American Standard Bible. Yeah, check. I'm sure you would have known by now. Okay, how do we know that we don't include the Apocrypha? The Hebrew people didn't. Excellent answer. What else?
Well, aren't the Hebrew people still like humans, though? They're still fallible. I mean, we don't know for certainty, right?
They are still fallible, so just because the Hebrew people didn't accept them as Scripture, that's not 100% proof, but it's a good evidence that they should never have been included in the Septuagint. But what else? They are never referred to as Scripture in the New Testament. No one ever quotes from the Apocrypha as Scripture. That's an excellent answer. The rest of the Old Testament is pretty much referred to, but none of the books of the Apocrypha. I'm looking for one more answer, but before I get it, I'll probably get five others.
Well, you don't preach it, so it's obviously...
I haven't gotten to a lot, but that's, yes.
Are there things in the Apocrypha which contradict?
I haven't read it, but I'm sure there are things such as purgatory that would be a doctrine that cannot be substantiated by the New Testament or the Old Testament. There's one other pretty much solid proof, and it goes along sort of with what some people have already said. That's a good statement, and I'm not sure of when they were written. I think they were written after Malachi, at least most of them, so that sort of makes them unworthy to be considered Scripture. Yes.
Well, the apocryphal books were not added or not included by the church at all until after the Reformation.
The apocryphal books were never part of the Christian canon until after the Reformation, when the Roman Catholics wanted some books to substantiate their doctrines. So it was never really part of the canon to begin with until the Catholics had a reaction to the Reformation. And one more evidence that I would give that the Apocrypha does not belong in our Bible, going along with it's never quoted in the New Testament and it was accepted by the Hebrews, it was never quoted or accepted by Jesus Christ. When Jesus, as a Hebrew, talked about the law, the prophets, and the writings, when Jesus referred to the Scriptures, it was a Hebrew understanding of what the Scriptures were, and it did not include the Apocrypha. So he put his stamp of approval on the Old Testament as understood by the Hebrews that was never quoted in the New Testament as Scripture. Okay, good answers. Okay, divisions of the Old Testament. Okay, on your brain burner, how many books are in the Protestant Old Testament?
39.
And the way you remember that is there are how many letters in Old? Three. And how many letters in Testament? Nine. So there are 39 books in the Old Testament. And how many books are in the New Testament? 27. How many letters in the word New? Three, and in Testament, nine, and if you multiply that, you get 27. I am not so clever as to come up with that on my own. so don't think I'm too clever. But it is a clever little memory device. Okay, number three on your brain burner. What are the five divisions in which the books of the Old Testament can be grouped? Okay, this goes on your notes. The English division of the Old Testament. What did you write for number three on your brain burner? First grouping is the law. Second grouping is history. Third grouping is poetry. Fourth grouping is major prophets. And the fifth grouping is minor prophets. How many books of the law? Five of history. Let's move on. Of poetry, five. Major prophets, including Lamentations, five. Minor prophets,
12.
History. No, history. 12. It's either 5 or 12. It's 5 books of the law, 12 books of history, 5 books of poetry, 5 books of major prophets, and 12 books of minor prophets. Number 4 on your brain burner, and as you've seen on your handout, what are the divisions, and this goes on your notes, what are the divisions of the Bible according to Hebrew tradition? The law, the prophets, and the writings. Now take a look at this sheet of paper that has your Septuagint books on it and see if some of those placements sound a bit strange. Would you have put Joshua in the former prophets or in the writings? What about Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings? Would you have said those were the former prophet books? That seems like a strange place to put them. Look down in the writings. Is there anything that looks strange down there? John Michael, what looks strange in the writings?
Well, the way we understand it, we do say Chronicles would go up with all the other ones that they
would perform. You would think that 1 and 2 Chronicles would go with 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, right? That's one thing that looks a little bit strange, the way we do it. What else looks strange, Emily? Hello?
Ruth.
What is Ruth doing? And is Ruth part of Judges? Or is Ruth not part of Judges? That's a strange one where we put it.
Daniel
was a prophet. Now why do you think they put the former prophets as such and the writings as such? It has been proposed, although I'm not sure this is the answer, it has been proposed that Daniel is in the writings rather than in the prophets because he was a what?
Historian.
He was a government official. He wasn't really considered necessarily a prophet. There were times that he prophesied, but most of his life was a government official. That's a conjecture. I'm not sure. The former prophets, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, it is thought that Joshua and Samuel wrote those books, and Samuel was a prophet. So there are reasons why those books were grouped that way, but I'm not sure anybody knows for sure. Okay, brain burner. Oh, and then see your handout. Number seven on your brain burner, who was the last prophet of the Old Testament? Nathan? Malachi. But there was an Old Testament prophet after him. Who was the last prophet of the Old Testament times? Yes. John the Baptist. When was the New Covenant instituted? When did the New Covenant come into existence? The death and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, right? John the Baptist was before that. John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet. Number eight, what is the Greek translation of the Old Testament called? The Septuagint. And what will guide our interpretation of the Scriptures? We'll get to that in a minute. Let's now take a look at the meaning or emphasis of the first five books of the Bible. First book of the Bible is Genesis. What is its emphasis or meaning? What? The beginning. Its emphasis is the beginning. This is what Pastor Bryant was saying. The Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament. You want to know the beginning of things? You look in the book of Genesis. What are some examples of some of the beginnings in Genesis? Beginning of the world. Beginning of what, Jonathan? Light. Sin. Okay, couldn't hear. Takes me a while to process things that I can't hear. Sin. What else? Murder. Murder. Pronounce moida. Craftsman. I have the following. It's the book of beginnings, some examples. Creation, beginning of man, the beginning of marriage, the beginning of sin, death, redemption, and grace, and I didn't even get out of chapter 3. One of your questions on your assignment is list all the beginnings in chapter 4. I didn't even get to chapter 4. You could list hundreds of things that are the beginning of things in the book of Genesis. It is foundational to our understanding. Okay, I'm moving on. Exodus. What is the meaning of the word Exodus? Greek students, exhados. Hados means way, road, or path. Ek means out of. It is the way out of. It is the book of deliverance. Key events. What are some key events in the book of Exodus? Nathan. The parting of the Red Sea. The most important event in Hebrew history until the time of Christ. It is the event that is always referred to for God's mercy and grace to this people known as Israel and His power shown. The parting of the Red Sea. What else? What else is in Exodus? The Passover. What else is in Exodus? The plagues of Egypt. What else is in Exodus? The Ten Commandments, the law. What else is in Exodus? Moses. 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 And the... You got all of them but one. That was excellent. The last part of Exodus talks about the... What? Louder. Okay, it does talk about the promised land. That's why they were delivered. Excellent.
The tabernacle.
Moses, the plagues, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the Ten Commandments, and the tabernacle. What does all that refer to? One word. What does it all refer to? You guys are mumbling, and you know I can't hear you. One word.
Christ
certainly would be in all of that.
Worship
would be Israel. Genesis is our foundation, but now we're getting more specific. God is going to be dealing with a specific nation. He calls a leader. He judges a foreign land. He gives them a special celebration and deliverance. He shows them their power in delivering them through the Red Sea. He institutes them as a nation with the law, and he gives them an opportunity to worship him with the tabernacle. Now Israel is a completely different nation than any of the nations in the world. And Exodus teaches us that. Okay, third book, Leviticus, is about the
sacrifices.
But the name Leviticus would mean it's about the Levites, the priests. But the key teachings include worship, the sacrifices, and the priests. So now that Israel has been called as a nation by God to be separated from the other nations, he's now going to give them the procedures for acceptable worship. And how can a sinful man approach a holy God? Leviticus will teach the nation how that is possible. And of course, this speaks of Christ. Whenever we talk about how a sinful man approaches a holy God, the ultimate answer is Christ. Numbers. Numbers is the people are numbered for war. There is a promised land, as we heard in Exodus. Now we're going to go take it. God has given us the land. We're now going to be numbered, and we're going to go into battle and take this land where we can establish this system of worship, having been delivered out of Egypt, so that we can worship God and be a light to the nations around us. They are numbered for battle. Key events. Anybody know some things that happen in the book of Numbers? Jonathan? The people were counted. This is the description of the road to the promised land. Exodus takes them to Mount Sinai. Numbers takes them from Mount Sinai into the Promised Land. So what happened from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land? Lots of things. It's a very action-packed book. Complaining. That's what you read about most. The 12 spies, where 10 of them brought back a bad report so that the people were discouraged from entering the land. And God said, okay, then you won't. What is interesting is the reason why they didn't want to enter the land is because of the giants. They were afraid the giants would kill their children. And it was their children who killed the giants. It's all a matter of faith. The wandering for the 40 years in the wilderness. all the events that we're familiar with on the road from Sinai to the Promised Land are in the book of Numbers. And Deuteronomy, what does Deuteronomy mean? Two words. Deutero and Nomos.
Second
teaching or second law. It's a second giving of the law. Now why? Wasn't the first giving of the law sufficient? Why give it a second time? Yes. People are hard-headed and they need to be told again. Yes, that is true.
The second generation hadn't been taught the law of the first generation.
40 years in the wilderness, the first generation dies off. That was the purpose of 40 years, right? Who taught the second generation? Well, no one really taught the second generation because the first generation was faithless. So did they teach their sons and daughters about the greatness of God and how He would help them in their trials and deliver them into the Promised Land? Well, no. They didn't believe it. So they didn't teach their children. So after 40 years, a generation rises up that needs to be told of the greatness of God. And a second time for the law to be given. Why? The old generation died without teaching their children. And Israel is ready to enter the Promised Land. You know what one thing had to happen to Israel before they entered the Promised Land? The whole nation? They had to be worshiping one God. But right before they went into the Promised Land, something had to be done. Or God wouldn't let them take it. The whole nation had to be circumcised. Now, when were they supposed to be circumcised? 8 days old. Every one of them should have been circumcised. Every one of them was not. And the whole nation had to be circumcised. Why? Because their parents were faithless and disobedient and didn't even perform the ritual, the rite of circumcision. Okay, assignment number one. This will be due next week. Somebody want to help me pass these out? What?
Can we take this class by teleconference or something?
By teleconference? I think that Mr. Wright is recording the discussion. And papers can be emailed to you. So if you want to do that, you may do that. All right, let me explain the assignment to you. This class began because my son Joseph, who has since gone to Colorado, wanted to know if I would teach a Bible class so that he would understand what to look for when he read the Bible if he were the only student in the class. And I said yes. So that's why there are assignments. The assignments were basically intended for my son to use while he read the scriptures. So feel free to do the assignment or not do the assignment. It's hopefully it would be profitable if you did. It's might be a bit much for some people. You might just look over the assignment. You might want to write it down however you would like to do it. Okay, any comments or questions before we close with another song? And moon pies.
Yes.
Okay, Roger, you want to come up and Mary? Do y'all know the song Come and Behold Him? No, nobody knows it, but we're going to sing it anyway. Do you know it, Roger?
I have music. I can stumble through it.
Okay, we're going to stumble through this one.